Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive.
Yeah.
This time we're going to be looking at building a career in tech,
Okay.
and specifically for aspiring developers.
Right.
We're going to be extracting some choice advice from the Cerebrics podcast
Okay.
called From Code to Career. And hopefully this will help make sense of just what it takes to
Yeah.
build a successful career in this crazy industry.
It is a wild world out there.
It is.
So Cerebrics is a really great resource for aspiring developers,
Okay.
and they had a lot of great professionals on this specific episode,
Yeah.
really lending their wisdom and advice.
Yeah, they really covered the whole gamut
They did.
from like choosing a language to building a portfolio to
Networking.
networking, acing those interviews, and even the idea of lifelong learning.
Yeah, it was a very comprehensive episode.
Okay, so let's get into it.
Let's do it.
First things first, right? The question that is on every newbie developer's mind:
Oh, yeah.
what programming language should I learn first?
That is the million-dollar question.
It is.
And, this episode really emphasized that there's no one right answer. It
Right.
really depends on what your goals are.
Okay, so give me an example.
So let's say you want to build websites.
Okay.
JavaScript or Python might be the way to go.
Okay.
If you're thinking mobile apps, Swift for iOS or Kotlin for Android could be your path.
Oh my gosh, so many
I
choices.
know, right?
It's like walking into a candy store
It
and being
is.
told to just pick one.
I know.
It's overwhelming.
It can be very overwhelming.
Yeah. But in the episode, Laura Chin, who's a software engineer, she had some advice.
Oh, good.
And she basically said, start with something versatile and beginner-friendly like Python,
Python.
because it's widely used
It's used
and
everywhere.
it's in high demand.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Python.
And I feel like I see Python everywhere these days.
You do. It's like the Swiss Army knife
Yeah.
of programming languages.
Why is that, though?
Well, think about it. You can use it for web development, data analysis, machine learning, even scripting and automation.
Wow.
It's super versatile. Plus, once you learn Python, picking up other languages becomes so much easier.
Really?
Yeah, because a lot of the core programming concepts transfer over.
Yeah.
Think of it like learning the grammar of coding. Once you've got the basics down, you can apply them to different languages.
That's a really good analogy.
Thanks.
It's like learning Spanish and then being like, oh, Italian's not so hard.
Exactly, or French or whatever.
It's all about those fundamental building blocks.
Okay, so let's say you've got your language, you're starting to get comfortable with it.
Okay.
What's next?
Well, next up, it's time to build that portfolio.
The portfolio.
Yeah, that's your chance to shine.
Okay, but what makes a portfolio stand out?
Right.
Because, like you said, it's a wild world out there.
It is.
Everyone's got to have a portfolio.
They interviewed Diego Ramirez on the podcast. He's a software developer and a hiring manager.
So he's seen a lot of portfolios,
He has.
and he really emphasized that quality is so much more important than quantity.
Okay.
It's better to have a few really impressive projects that really show off your skills than just a ton of half-baked ideas.
Right.
So you don't just want to throw everything you've ever done at them.
So it's kind of like curating a museum.
Exactly.
You're going to pick your best pieces to show
Not
to.
take your masterpieces.
Yeah,
Show them what you can really do.
but what kind of projects should people be focusing on?
Well, Diego said to go for projects that solve real-world problems.
Okay.
Employers want to see that you can apply your skills to practical situations.
That makes sense.
So instead of just theoretical exercises, you want to build things that actually have a purpose.
So like a website for a local business,
Exactly.
or like a web app that helps people do something.
Yeah, like an app that helps people track their expenses or something.
Yeah.
Something useful.
And it's not just about showing the final product right.
Right, you want to walk them through your process.
Oh, okay.
Explain the problem you were trying to solve, the technologies you used, the challenges you faced.
Oh, so it's kind of like giving them a peek behind the curtain of your
Exactly.
brain.
Let them see how you think,
Yeah.
how you approach problems.
Okay, and of course, presentation matters.
Oh, absolutely.
Gotta make it look good.
Yeah, keep your portfolio clean, well organized, easy to navigate.
So it's like a website itself.
It is, it's like your digital storefront.
Yeah, you want people to walk in and be like, wow,
Exactly.
this is nice.
First impressions are everything.
They are. Okay, so they also talked about GitHub on the episode.
Ah, GitHub, the developer's best friend.
I'm not a developer, so.
Okay, well, think of it as a social network for code.
Okay.
It lets you store your projects, online track changes, and collaborate with others.
Okay, so that's where that version control thing comes in.
Yes. Version control is like having a time machine for your code. You can track every change you make, go back to previous versions if you need to, and work with others without messing things up.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
It is, and GitHub makes it super easy.
So employers really like to see a GitHub profile.
Oh yeah, it shows them your coding style, how you organize your projects, and your commitment to continuous improvement.
Okay, so we've got our language. We're building an awesome portfolio on GitHub.
Check and check.
How do we actually get a job?
Networking. My friend, networking.
Ugh, I hate networking.
I know a lot of people do, but it's so important, especially when you're starting out.
Okay, fine. So how do we make it less painful?
Well, Sarah Kim, a tech recruiter, was on the podcast, and she had some great tips.
Okay.
She said it's all about building genuine relationships, not just collecting business cards.
So I shouldn't just be like shoving my resume in everyone's face.
Not exactly. It's about connecting with people who share your passions and supporting each other's growth.
That sounds way less scary.
It is.
So where do I find these people?
Well, Sarah recommended getting active in online communities like LinkedIn, GitHub, and Stack Overflow.
Those are good ones.
They are.
Okay.
And don't underestimate local meetups or even virtual tech events.
Even for us introverts.
Especially for introverts.
Okay.
You can connect with people in a more low-key setting.
I can handle low-key.
Plus, you might even hear about unadvertised job openings.
Ooh, insider info.
Exactly. And if you're thinking about reaching out to recruiters directly, Sarah had some advice for that too.
Hit me with it.
Be professional. Tailor your message to the specific recruiter and company. Highlight your skills and interests.
Okay.
Make sure to link to your portfolio or GitHub profile so they can see your work.
Show off those skills.
Yes. And remember, persistence is key. Don't be discouraged if you don't hear back right away.
Okay, so it's a long game.
It is, but it's worth it.
All right, so you've networked your way to some promising leads. You've got an interview.
Okay.
Now what?
Now it's time to conquer the technical interview.
Oh, boy.
I know, right?
Those
can be nerve-wracking.
They are.
But the Cerebricks episode had some great advice for that, too.
Good, because I need it.
They interviewed Jordan Liu, a software engineer who's been on both sides of the interview table.
Oh, wow. So he knows what it's like from both perspectives.
He does.
Okay, so what were his top tips for acing the interview?
His number one piece of advice was practice, practice, practice.
Okay.
He recommended websites like LeetCode HackerRank and CodeSignal for getting comfortable with common interview questions and sharpening your problem-solving skills.
Those are great resources.
They are.
But is it just about getting the right answer?
Not necessarily. Jordan said it's also important to explain your thought process clearly and logically.
Okay.
Even if you hit a roadblock along the way.
So even if I don't have the perfect solution, they want to see how I think.
Exactly. They want to see how you approach problems and how you handle pressure.
Okay, so what about those system design questions?
Yes, this can be intimidating.
They are.
But Jordan had some advice for those too. He said to think big picture, start with a high-level approach, focusing on how you'd handle data flow, scalability, and performance.
So even if I'm not an architect, I should still be thinking about those things.
Yes. It shows that you're thinking beyond just writing code. You're considering the bigger picture of how systems work and interact.
That makes sense.
And remember, it's okay to ask clarifying questions during the interview.
Okay.
It shows that you're engaged and actively trying to understand the problem.
Good to know.
And then there's the behavioral part of the interview.
Oh, yes. The dreaded, tell me about a time when questions.
I know, right?
Mm.
But Jordan had a tip for those, too.
Okay, tell me.
He suggested using the STAR method.
The STAR method?
Yeah, it stands for Situation, Task, Action, and Result.
Oh, okay.
It's a framework for structuring your responses to behavioral questions.
So instead of just rambling on, I can use this method to keep my answers focused.
Exactly. You describe the situation, outline the task, explain the actions you took, and then describe the results.
That sounds helpful.
It keeps your answers concise and relevant.
Okay, so we've covered choosing a language, building a portfolio, networking, and even acing those interviews.
We have. It's been a whirlwind.
It has. But there's one more crucial piece to this puzzle.
Oh, right. And what's that?
Lifelong learning.
Ah, yes. The key to staying relevant in this ever-changing tech landscape.
Exactly. The Cerebricks episode featured Angela Brooks, a developer and tech educator who's super passionate about this topic.
She is.
And she emphasized that even after you land your dream job, it's vital to stay curious and keep learning.
It's so true.
But how do you actually keep up with all the changes in tech?
Well, Angela recommended dedicating time each week to reading industry blogs, taking online courses, and even working on personal projects to explore new technologies.
That sounds like a lot to juggle.
It can be, but even just a little bit each day can make a big difference.
Are there any specific online learning platforms you mentioned?
Yes, she mentioned Udemy, Coursera, and FreeCodeCamp as great options.
Those are all great. And she also highlighted the importance of contributing to open source projects.
Ah, yes, open source.
What are those exactly?
Basically, they're software projects that are publicly available for anyone to use, modify, and contribute to.
Oh, so it's like a giant collaborative coding playground.
Exactly.
That's so cool.
It is, and it's an amazing way to gain real-world experience, learn from others, and build your portfolio.
So employers like to see open source contributions on a resume.
They love it.
Okay.
It shows that you're passionate about coding, willing to learn, and can collaborate effectively with others.
Okay, so we've got our language, our portfolio, our networking skills, our interview tips, and now this idea of lifelong learning.
It's a lot to take in.
It is, but it's all part of the journey.
It is, and it's an exciting journey.
It is.
The tech world is full of possibilities.
Yeah, and remember, you don't have to know everything right now. It's a process.
It is.
It's about taking those first steps, building momentum, and celebrating every milestone along the way.
Well said.
And remember, the tech community is super supportive.
Yeah, it is.
So don't be afraid to reach out for help or advice.
There are so many resources available online and in person.
That's true.
Okay.
So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I want to leave you with a question inspired by Angela Brooks.
Okay.
What is one thing you can do this week to start embracing lifelong learning in tech?
That's a great question.
It could be anything from checking out an online course to attending a local meetup, or even just committing to reading a tech blog every day.
Every little bit counts.
It does. And we'll be back in the next part of our deep dive to discuss even more valuable insights from the Cerebrics episode. So stay tuned.
Can't wait.
Welcome back to our deep dive into the world of tech careers and all the juicy advice we're getting from the Cerebrics podcast episode.
Yeah, from code to career. So much good stuff in there.
There is.
It's inspiring even for someone like me who's already in the industry.
Yeah, it's great to hear those different perspectives.
It is.
You know, I wanted to circle back to something we talked about earlier.
Okay.
Choosing that first programming language.
Yeah.
We talked about how Laura Chen recommended Python.
Uh-huh.
Why does she think that's such a good starting point for beginners?
Well, she highlighted a few key reasons.
Okay.
First off, Python syntax is super user-friendly.
Okay.
Especially for beginners, it reads almost like plain English.
Okay.
Which makes it easier to grasp those core concepts without getting bogged down in like complicated symbols and rules.
Yeah, that makes sense when you're starting out.
Right.
You don't want to feel like you're learning a whole new language.
Exactly.
On top of learning how to code.
You want to focus on the logic and the structure of coding.
Right, exactly.
And Python makes that so much easier.
Okay, so easy syntax is a big plus.
It is.
What else?
Well, another reason is its versatility.
Oh, yeah, we touched on that.
We did.
Python seems to be everywhere.
It is. It's used in so many different industries and applications, from web development to data science, machine learning, scripting, automation, you name it.
So it's kind of like a gateway drug.
Haha, in a way.
Yeah. Like you can start with Python and then branch out into all these other areas.
Exactly. You could start with web development and then transition into data science if that interests you more.
Uh-huh.
The skills you learn in Python are transferable.
So you're not pigeonholed into one specific thing?
Nope. You're setting yourself up to be a more adaptable and well-rounded developer.
Okay.
Which is super valuable in this industry.
It is. And of course, as we mentioned earlier, Python is in super high demand.
Oh, yeah.
So having those skills on your resume is going to make you stand out.
Absolutely. It's one of the most sought after skills in tech.
Okay, so Python's a good bet.
It is.
Now let's talk about building a portfolio.
Yes, the portfolio. That's your chance to really shine.
But like, how do you make it stand out?
Right, because everyone's got a portfolio these days.
Yeah.
Well, Diego Ramirez, the developer and hiring manager we mentioned earlier, he had some awesome tips on this.
Okay.
He really emphasized that quality over quantity is key. So it's much better to have a few exceptional projects that really demonstrate your skills than a whole bunch of mediocre or unfinished ones.
It's like those people who have like 500 channels on their streaming service.
Yeah.
And you just scroll and scroll and can't find anything to watch.
Exactly.
You just want the good stuff.
You want the curated selection, the masterpieces.
Exactly.
So be selective. Choose the projects that represent your best work.
But what kind of projects are we talking about here?
Well, Diego recommended focusing on projects that solve real-world problems.
Okay, so not just like theoretical exercises.
Right. Employers want to see that you can apply your skills to practical situations.
Okay, so like a website that actually helps a business streamline its operations.
Exactly.
Or like an app that helps people connect with each other.
Yeah, those are great examples.
So things that have an actual purpose.
Yes, things that show you can translate your skills into tangible solutions.
Okay.
And don't forget, it's not just about showcasing the final product.
Oh, right.
You want to walk them through your process.
Explain how you got there.
Exactly. Explain the problem you were trying to solve, the technologies you used, the challenges you faced.
And how you overcame them.
Yes. Give them a glimpse into your coding journey.
So it's like a behind-the-scenes look
exactly
at your process.
Show them how you think, how you approach challenges.
Not like that.
And of course, presentation matters.
It always does.
Keep your portfolio clean, well-organized, visually appealing.
So it's kind of like a website itself.
It is. It's like your digital storefront.
Yeah, you want people to come in and be like,
wow, this is impressive.
This person knows what they're doing.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got our language. We're building a killer portfolio.
Check and check.
Now let's talk about networking.
Ugh, networking.
I know it can be a bit daunting.
It can be.
Especially for those of us who are more introverted.
I feel you.
But Sarah Kim, the tech recruiter we mentioned earlier, she had some great tips on how to make it less scary.
Yeah, she emphasized that it's all about building genuine connections with people who share your interests.
Okay.
Not just like collecting business cards.
Or going to every single tech event.
Right. It's not about being a social butterfly.
Okay, good. Because I'm not.
It's about finding your tribe within the tech community.
Your tribe.
Yeah, people who get you.
Who understand the struggles.
Exactly.
Who share your passion for coding.
And who can offer support and guidance along the way.
Like that.
It's about building relationships that can benefit you throughout your career.
Okay, so where do you find these people?
Well, Sarah recommended starting with online communities like LinkedIn, GitHub, and Stack Overflow.
Those are all good ones.
They are.
Okay.
And she also suggested attending local meetups or virtual tech events.
Even for the introverts.
Especially for the introverts.
Okay, good.
They can be a more low-key way to connect with people.
I can handle low-key.
Plus, you never know, you might hear about unadvertised job openings.
Ooh, the inside scoop. Now, what about reaching out to recruiters directly?
Sarah had some advice for that, too.
Okay.
She said, be professional, tailor your message to the specific recruiter and company.
Okay.
Highlight your skills and interests in a way that aligns with their needs and values.
So basically, do your research.
Exactly.
And don't just send out a generic message.
Right. Make it personal. Show that you're genuinely interested in that company and that opportunity.
Oh, what?
And remember, persistence is key.
Okay.
Don't be discouraged if you don't hear back right away.
Follow up.
Yes. Politely, of course.
Okay, so it's a long game.
It is, but networking is all about building relationships and staying top of mind.
So plant those seeds and nurture them.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's say you've networked your way to some promising leads.
Okay.
You've got an interview.
All right.
Now it's time to face the dreaded technical interview.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, those can be pretty nerve-wracking.
They can be.
Especially those coding challenges they throw at you.
Oh, yeah. It's like being put on the spot.
It is.
But Joran Liu, the software engineer we mentioned earlier, he had some great tips for handling those challenges.
Okay, I'm all ears.
His biggest piece of advice was practice, practice, practice.
Practice makes perfect.
Right. And he recommended using websites like LeetCode HackerRank and CodeSignal.
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
They have tons of practice problems and coding challenges.
You can get comfortable with the types of questions you might see.
Exactly. And you can hone your problem-solving skills. Right. But Jordan also stressed that it's not just about finding the right answer.
It's about how you get there.
Yes. You need to be able to explain your thought process clearly and logically.
Even if you make mistakes along the way.
Even if you make mistakes.
Okay.
Interviewers want to see how you approach problems, how you break them down, and how you think critically.
So they want to see inside your brain.
They do.
How you work.
It's not just about memorizing solutions. It's about understanding the concepts and being able to apply them.
Okay, that makes sense.
And remember, it's okay to ask clarifying questions during the interview.
Oh, that's good to know.
It shows that you're engaged and you're really trying to understand the problem.
Okay, so don't be afraid to ask questions.
Don't be afraid to ask questions.
Now, what about those system design questions?
Well, those can be intimidating. I know.
They are.
But Dredden had some good advice for those, too.
Okay.
He said to start with a high-level approach.
Okay.
Focus on the big picture.
The big picture.
Yeah. So think about things like data flow, scalability, and performance.
So even if you're not an architect, you should still be thinking about those things.
Yes. It shows that you're thinking beyond just writing code.
Okay.
You're considering how all the different parts of a system work together.
It's like thinking about a city.
A city?
Yeah, like how the roads and the buildings and the transportation all have to work together.
Oh, I see what you mean.
To make it function properly.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
So system design is kind of like urban planning.
Haha, in a way, yeah.
It's about seeing the bigger picture.
Exactly. And remember, interviewers don't expect you to have all the answers, especially at an entry level. What they're looking for is your ability to think critically, apply your knowledge, and communicate your ideas effectively.
So show them how you think.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about coding challenges and system design questions.
Mm-hmm.
What about the behavioral part of the interview?
All right. Those tell me about a time when questions.
I hate those.
I know they can be tricky.
It's like you're being put on the spot to tell a story.
Yeah, and you want to make sure it's a good story.
Exactly, one that highlights your skills and experiences.
Right. Well, Jordan had a tip for those, too.
Okay.
He recommended using something called the STAR method.
The STAR method.
Yeah, it stands for Situation, Task, Action, and Result.
Okay.
It's a framework for structuring your responses to behavioral questions.
So it helps you tell a more compelling story.
Exactly. You start by describing the situation.
Okay.
Then you outline the task you had to accomplish. Explain the actions you took, and then describe the results you achieved.
So it's like a mini case study.
Yeah, think of it that way.
For each experience.
It keeps your answers focused and relevant.
And it helps you highlight your skills and how you've applied them in real-world situations.
Exactly. And remember, these questions are not just about showcasing your past accomplishments.
Okay.
They're also about giving interviewers a glimpse into your personality, your work ethic, and how you interact with others.
You want to see if you'd be a good fit for the team.
Exactly.
Okay.
So be prepared to talk about times you collaborated effectively with others.
Yeah.
Overcame challenges, received feedback, both positive and constructive.
Okay.
And demonstrated your ability to learn and grow from your experiences.
So it's all about showing them that you're a well-rounded individual.
Exactly. Not just a coding machine.
Right. A human being.
A human being with skills and experiences and a passion for tech.
Exactly.
Now, I know we've covered a lot, but I want to circle back to one more thing that's crucial for long-term success in this field.
Okay.
Lifelong learning.
Yes. Angela Brooks, the developer and tech educator we mentioned earlier, she was so passionate about this.
She was.
And she emphasized that even after you land your dream job.
Even after you land your dream job.
It's crucial to keep learning and growing.
It is. The tech world is constantly evolving.
I'm going to try and drink from a fire hose.
I know, right?
So how do you even keep up?
Well, Angela recommended making learning a part of your daily or weekly routine.
Good.
So set aside some time each week to read industry blogs, listen to podcasts, take online courses,
okay,
even work on personal projects to explore new technologies.
So it's about making learning a habit?
Exactly. Make it a part of your lifestyle.
And she also mentioned contributing to open source projects.
Oh, yes, open source.
Can you remind us what those are?
Sure. They're basically software projects that are publicly available for anyone to use, modify, and contribute to.
So it's like a giant collaborative coding project.
Exactly.
That's pretty awesome.
It is. And it's an amazing way to gain real-world experience, learn from others, and build your portfolio.
And employers love to see open source contributions on a resume.
Oh, yeah. It shows that you're passionate about coding, willing to learn, and can work effectively in a team.
Okay. So open source is a win-win.
It is.
And finally, Angela also suggested following tech leaders and influencers on platforms like Twitter and LinkedIn.
Okay. It's a great way to stay up to date on industry trends and get insights from the experts.
So it's like having a direct line to the people who are shaping the future of tech.
Exactly.
So we've covered a lot in this deep dive.
We have, from choosing a language to building a portfolio to networking and acing interviews.
And of course, the importance of lifelong learning.
It's all part of the journey.
It is. And it's an exciting journey.
It is. The tech world is full of possibilities.
And challenges.
And challenges. But that's what makes it so rewarding.
Exactly.
Now I think it's time for a short break. When we come back, we'll delve into some specific resources and tools that can help you on your path to becoming a successful developer.
And we are back for the final part of our deep dive into building a successful tech career.
We've covered so much ground.
We have. It's been quite a journey.
It has.
But I think, you know, one of the big takeaways from this whole conversation is that this is a marathon, not a sprint.
It is.
And you've really got to embrace the idea of lifelong learning.
Oh, absolutely. The tech world is constantly changing.
It is.
So you've got to be willing to adapt and learn new things throughout your career.
And speaking of learning new things,
yes,
I know they mentioned some really great online learning platforms in the Cerebricks episode.
They did. They highlighted Udemy, Coursera, and FreeCodeCamp as exceptional resources.
Those are good ones.
They offer a huge range of courses covering everything from the basics of coding to more advanced topics like machine learning and AI.
And I think what's great about those platforms is that they cater to all skill levels.
They do. You can be a complete beginner or an experienced developer looking to expand your skills.
Exactly.
And a lot of them have free or low-cost options, which is amazing.
It is. It makes learning so much more accessible.
It does. It's really democratized education.
Okay. So in addition to online learning platforms, they also talk about GitHub quite a bit.
Ah, GitHub, the developer's best friend.
Remind us why GitHub is so important.
Well, it's like a social network for code, where developers from all over the world can collaborate on projects, share their work, and learn from each other.
Okay.
It's also a great way to build your portfolio, showcase your skills, and connect with other developers.
And it lets employers see your code, your style, your version control skills.
Exactly. It's like a window into your coding journey.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got online learning platforms. We've got GitHub.
Check and check.
What else did they recommend for staying ahead of the curve?
Well, they also talked about the importance of immersing yourself in the tech community.
Yep.
So reading industry blogs, following tech influencers on platforms like Twitter and LinkedIn, participating in online forums and communities.
So basically just surrounding yourself with all things tech.
Exactly. It's a great way to stay up to date on the latest trends, learn from the experts, and connect with other passionate developers.
So it's like drinking from that fire hose we were talking about.
Yeah, but in a good way.
In a good way.
You're getting all that knowledge and inspiration.
Okay, so online resources are super important.
They are.
But what about in-person events?
Oh, yeah, those are great too.
Okay.
They mentioned local meetups and virtual tech events as great opportunities to network with people, learn about new technologies, and maybe even hear about job openings.
So it's a good way to expand your network.
It is, and to get a feel for the different companies and cultures out there.
Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive, any final words of wisdom for aspiring developers?
Oh, gosh. Well, first of all, remember, it's okay to start small. You don't have to know everything right away. Just choose a language that interests you. Start building small projects and gradually expand your knowledge and skills.
Small steps.
Small steps.
I like it. Well,
embrace the idea of continuous learning.
Yes.
The tech world is constantly evolving, so stay curious. Stay hungry for knowledge.
Always be learning.
Always be learning.
Okay.
And don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yes.
The tech community is incredibly supportive.
It is.
So reach out, connect with people. Find mentors.
Find your tribe.
Find your tribe. And most importantly, believe in yourself.
Oh, I like that.
Believe in your abilities and your potential.
Because you can do it.
You can do it.
All right. So to all our aspiring developers out there.
Yes.
Remember, choose a language.
Yes.
Build awesome projects, network like a pro, ace those interviews, and never stop learning.
The tech world is waiting for you.
It is. Go out there and make your mark.
That's it for this deep dive into building a successful tech career.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and found it helpful.
We'll be back soon with more deep dives into fascinating topics.
Well, stay tuned and keep on coding.
Keep on coding.